you'll increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host. Welcome back to another edition of the Tough Things First podcast. I'm your guest host, Rob Artigo. I'm a writer and an entrepreneur in California. Hi, Ray.
Hey, Rob. So good to be with you again today.
And it's a new year, 2018. The start of a new year tends to plant, I know it does for me, and I think it does for a lot of people, it tends to plant adventurous, if not grandiose, thoughts in our heads. Do you buy into the notion that to achieve big things, you must do something scary?
That's a good way to put it. I think life is scary in and of itself. I mean, if you're really wanting to improve, nothing in life worth having comes free.
Right.
And so, as they say, no pain, no gain. And so if pain is scary to you, then you got to learn to deal with pain. And I know I ran my crawl for 37 years and it's scary. I mean, scary every day you come to work. One thing you can't control, is the future. You can control the present. You can control what you can do that day, but some of the things your decisions you make that day will impact the future of your company. Or others may affect the future of your company. And so, I come white knuckled to work every day and like flying a plane. Okay. Yeah. I've got a lot of people on board and I'm responsible for their safety. And as a CEO of a company, I'm responsible for the safety of my employees and I don't take it lightly. And so that's scary.
I think sometimes when particularly younger people hear somebody giving them the recommendation, do something scary every day. That'll help you succeed. Do something that scares you every day. They start to think, literally, do something scary. What am I going to do? Jump in front of a bus and then dive out of the way when it gets close? That's doing something scary, but it's not particularly healthy. What is a healthy scary versus a not healthy scary? And, obviously another way of that in a business sense, we're talking about the word risk. What is a healthy risk versus a not healthy risk?
Put yourself at risk. In other words, you can't win a race you don't enter. And I remember when I ran track in school and especially if somebody running up against somebody I didn't know, it was scary. Because I said earlier, you can't control the future. You can only control the present, in other words, where you are. So when I got up the starting line and got into the blocks and ready to take off, it was scary. And I could choose not to enter the race. I could say, well, I don't like this scary stuff. And so I won't be an athlete. I don't care whether you're football, basketball, baseball, track, soccer, whatever it is your sport is. Those are risk takers, people who are willing to put themselves at risk. Now, what is risk? Risk is personal. It's, you can't put somebody else at risk unless you're being stupid. But you can, so when I talk about doing something scary, I'm talking about scaring myself, not scaring my family or scaring my neighbors or my workers. Push yourself. In other words, get outside the box. Don't stay inside the box. Go from the known to the unknown and then a little bit further even. And so, push yourself. This is what we mean by doing stuff that's scary. So anyway, that's my view on that.
Well, the way I look at it, and particularly the beginning of a new year, is if you feel like one thing that I used to do, and I'm going to backtrack here, is when it came to a new year, I would evaluate where I'm at and I would say, am I going to be happy if I'm doing this same thing on January 1st, 2019? You know, will I be content with that? If the answer is no, I can look at what would I have to do to change that trajectory. And sometimes that move is risky. It's scary. And that's where I define risk and scary, healthy versus not healthy, is that you've made a careful analysis of your present situation, what your goals are, what you want to achieve. And if you have to take that giant leap of faith to get there, yeah, it's scary. But if you have to make the leap to change the trajectory, then why not? Go ahead and do it. And that's a healthy kind of scary.
Well, let's go back to what I said. The known is the box. In other words, if you're staying within the box, your cocoon, your comfort zone, that's the box. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's not scary because you know everything. You can predict it. That's where I said you can predict what's going to happen because it's known. It's like multiplying 2 times 2 is 4. It's predictable. That's in the box. Okay. And that's not scary. So to be scary, you got to go outside the box. That means go outside your cocoon, go outside your comfort zone. And that's where you test yourself. That's where you find the real metal in your capability. But then don't just go just outside a little bit. Go to what we call the unknown. So don't just climb out of the box. Go to the unknown. And the unknown is now where it gets really scary, because now you can't predict it. You can't predict the outcome. But I don't even stop there. I don't even go just to the unknown. I go beyond the unknown. I look out, you know, beyond what would be scary. I mean, I'm beyond the beyond. I'm beyond the scary part.
Yeah.
And like when I invented the wafer stepper, you know, it didn't become a reality for 11 years. I mean, my company said, gee whiz, you really got us in trouble, because we expected to have value within 2 or 3 years after introduction. And that's normal. But, you know, to think of a product that's out 11 years, that's really scary. Because how do you see out that far? How do you see out past a year or two? And that's the challenge. So the people who can see, have had this ability, that their vision can go beyond a 2 or 3 years, those are visionaries.
Yeah.
And those,
it's funny that the idea of the visionary in this sense is somebody who sees an end without actually seeing that path, because they're looking into a murky, or, you know, you're looking into the scary nothingness, and you're going to get beyond that. And at the other side is where you're going to get your reward. The product, for example, the wafer stepper will be done, but you don't know how that's all going to shake out. You don't know. Well, oftentimes you don't know it's going to take 3 years,
right,
4 years,
well,
5 years.
It was crystal clear to me, the value of the stepper. It was crystal clear. I could see its value. Now, my management didn't see its value, but I could see its value. But the problem was, I didn't know how long before it would become value. And that's the scary part, the unknown part, is, yes, okay, we can see the value in it, but when is it going to become valuable? You know, it's kind of like, you know, seeing a newborn baby and trying to envision it being, you know, a CEO or a president of the United States or whatever. You know, it's that's the part that's difficult, is to see this newborn and being able to see how it's going to turn out before it's hardly taken its first breath. Hmm. And so that's what, when you think of a product and it hasn't even got its first breath, and you're trying to say, okay, this thing's going to take off. And then it doesn't take off in a year or two or three or whatever. You know, that's the challenge, because you have to have enough runway in your financing to allow you to get that product developed and then introduced and then developing revenue. You have to have enough runway to do that. And some companies don't. They absolutely run out of money because they're all excited and all hyped up on the idea of the product. and underestimate how long it's going to take it to get it to market and actually accept it in the market. So that's the scary part. The scary part is predicting accurately enough when it's going to become a reality. I know for a fact that on the wafer stepper, that had my company known that it was going to take 11 years before that thing would get adopted, they would never let me develop it. Wow. And so thank goodness they didn't know that. It's kind of like, you know, if you knew you were going to, you know, die in an operation, you wouldn't take the operation.
Right.
So, you know, even though that stepper was extremely valuable and is probably the most valuable piece of equipment in our industry, it didn't become a reality for 11 years.
I know from experience that the risk that when I've done something or specific thing that was a scary step, there have been times where I thought, had I known that it was going to be this hard, would I had still taken that step? And oftentimes my answer is yes, because I don't know yet what the outcome is.
Well, my company that when I developed a stepper, you know, they didn't hold it. They weren't, didn't have a runway. They didn't stick with it. And so they lost out on that, on what has become now the most important piece of equipment in our industry. Mm-hmm. They held in there for a few years, maybe 3 years. And that's about right. I mean, typically, you know, if you can't get it out and revenue generating in 3 years, you know, you're in trouble. Because I don't know how many companies can fund it all the way for 11 years. But, you know, that did happen. And, you know, if I had to do it over again, I thought it would take off faster than it did too. See, I was all enthused and energetic about it. But as it turned out, it didn't turn out well in a few years. I could see that my company wasn't behind it. And so I left and I started my career actually. And I left my company, the one where I did the stepper, left in 76 and started my career in 78. I left because I was concerned about their commitment to the product. So, you know, pretty scary. Started my career, pretty scary.
Wow, big things came out of that leap.
Well,
right?
I'd like to think so. So anyway,
a few years of success in Silicon Valley as, you know, as CEO of a semiconductor company, and that's, you know, that leap again. It all began with the wafer stepper, and you didn't know that it would turn into Micrel.
No, obviously, you know. And another thing too, when I started Micrel, because I couldn't do it with venture funding. And then didn't want to do it with venture funding. Everybody told me I'd fail. They say, you are not going to succeed. Your company is going to go belly up in a year or two. And here are 37 years later, you know, I recently sold the company, but it was very successful, you know, 36 out of 37 years of profitability. You know, so yes, that one was very scary because I started with my own money. Very successful company.
Really, really good subject, Ray. So find out more at toughthingsfirst.com, Tough Things First on Facebook, and the book Tough Things First is available at major book retailers such as Amazon. Thanks again, Ray.
You're welcome, Rob.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.